Welcome to Adventures in the Spirit with Jared Lasky, a podcast that is not just information, but impartation and activation. This podcast offers supernatural conversations that will encourage and equip you to live the Spirit-empowered life. Fireborn Ministries exists to see Jesus awaken this generation to the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen in to this powerful and encouraging conversation and share this episode of Adventures in the Spirit with Jared Lasky. Welcome to Adventures in the Spirit, guys. I've got a free PDF available for you. It's brand new. It's called Simple Kingdom Economics. It's the biblical perspective on money. Okay, there's so much good stuff in there. I'm excited to have made that recently from a previous podcast I had with Ron Jolson, who is he's in his retirement now, but it's called Simple Kingdom Economics. From that episode, I was just illuminated and excited to release this new thing to you guys called Simple Kingdom Economics, the biblical perspective on money and kingdom finance. But guys, some of you might be looking at this today and be like, what is going on? Why is Jared dressed like that? Well, my wife even said I look like a lumberjack, but that there is a reason for that, guys. I decided to wear flannel today. I was born and raised in the Pacific Northwest in the Eugene, Oregon area. And this hat, Wrong Step, is from a guy who's just a year and a half, 2 years older than me, Ryan Hendrickson, who has an incredible story. I want to bring him to this podcast, but he was a retired Green Beret, lost his leg in Afghanistan, got it put back together. And there might be a movie about that. And I met the movie director when I was in movie school 2 years ago, you know, all that. So there's some divine stuff. So I'm honoring the Pacific Northwest, my heritage, guys, but also because I'm bringing Pastor Darren Stott back to Adventures in the Spirit. He's got this new book out called Unapologetically Supernatural. And so Darren is a supernaturally called by God to catalyze joy through anointed media, books, entertainment, and equipping resources. He's the founder of Supernaturalist Ministry. He serves as the CEO of Renaissance Coalition, which is a movement incorporated by John G. Lake's daughter in Spokane, Washington in 1947. Darren is the senior leader of the Eden Movement, which is a church pastored by his grandfather and father. So please help me welcome Darren Stott from the Pacific Northwest to Adventures in the Spirit. Welcome.
Let's go. Come on, Jared. Good to see you again. And yeah. you're looking pretty fly for a white guy.
Yeah. Now I hear the record scratches in the background. Oh man, you're taking me back.
They love the hat too. I got to get one of them hats. That's awesome.
Oh yeah. Well, Ryan is now serving demining Ukraine. He was an EOD tech and he's demining Ukraine, has a nonprofit, doing some amazing things.
That's incredible.
I just wanted to honor the Pacific Northwest because you're from there. And brother, I visit from time to time. I'll be there sometime this summer, brother.
Oh, come on.
You have a calling on your life to reach them constantly. I'm currently in sunny Arizona.
Oh, come on. I almost wore a hat and hoodie this morning because that's what it felt like, a hat and hoodie day. And I was like, no, I'm going to be chatting with Jared and Jared's going to have a 3-piece suit on. And so I was like, I better shower. So I got all dressed up and then you showed up here Seattle style. So.
Oh, I'm glad you took a shower. So thank you.
I hope in the tradition of Pacific Northwest, you didn't shower today.
Not yet.
Okay, perfect. Good. Awesome.
Yeah,
Stay true to your roots, my brother.
Well, you can take the boy out of Oregon. You can't take the Oregon out of the boy.
Oh, come on. That'll preach.
Well, Darren, what have you been up to since the last time we chatted? Last time we talked about the Eden Movement. So what is God doing through you, bro?
Yeah, so we've been working on this project, Unapologetically Supernatural, that we also turn into a school. And so this is our big week this week. This is our launch week. And so, man, we got a whole crew of people that have signed up for the school. We've shipped out a whole bunch of books. I'll tell you what I'm most excited about is I'm excited about hearing about the testimonies and the authority that people step into as they begin to discover that they are right now and always have been unapologetically supernatural. So this place of where we don't apologize for the power of God, and this place where, man, right now somebody needs to do something. Okay, and I think there's a lot of Christians looking and saying some pastor needs to do something, some prophet needs to do, or they're blaming the church or blaming prophets for the state of the world right now. And I think the eyes of God are looking for a people, okay, not a person, not a minister. And so, man, that's what we've been doing. We've been working real, real hard to get ready for such a time as this to equip and mobilize the people of God for this season.
Amen. I love that. So yeah, we have just survived the end of the world again.
Oh, isn't that true?
And I say that in jest.
Yeah. Yeah. Here I went and bought about $1,000 worth of Top Ramen and I had my bunker all ready and nothing happened. So I was disappointed. I was ready to get out my ARs and get some justice done. Get some justice did.
I love it, man. I love it. So I got in trouble for posting something the other day.
Uh-oh.
I don't know. One person didn't like what I posted, but anyway, it was saying beforehand, I survived the end of the world, the eclipse, that kind of a thing. Anyway, so many people right now, there's going to be a lot of talk coming up.
You know what's funny on that point is all the witches, okay, all the millennial witches, okay, and Gen Z witches, they were so excited about the eclipse. And it's funny because the ancients, the Druids and such, they wouldn't have been excited about it because an eclipse was a negative omen. But it's so funny because, you know, millennials are so optimistic about everything, probably because they don't have mortgages, right? They still live with their parents, but they turn everything into so one gal that I saw, she was so excited about the eclipse because she was going to harness all that universe energy into a candle. Right. And so I was laughing because here you have all these spiritists and they are just so excited. And then here you have the church and they're so bummed out. You know, I saw one guy, you probably saw him too, but literally talking about the earthquake that was going to follow. And it's probably going to destroy the United States. And what he said was, he said, and this could happen a month or two or 3 months after the eclipse. This could even happen a year or two or 3 years after the eclipse. I was like, wow, all right. This could happen 80-100 years after. You're just like, dude. Well, you know,
my wife follows Office Theology, you know, the TV show Office.
Yes, yes.
So there's this parody account, Office Theology.
Oh, that's funny.
And it was Dwight Schrute, you know, saying this could happen in a week from now. And then I forget the guy's name. He's like, oh, it could happen in a month from now. Yes, it very well probably could. Oh, this could happen like 6 months from now. Oh, well, then anyway, it goes on. It's hilarious. So I think a lot of people missed it. The stars are set there for us to admire the creation of God. And we've got 100 some odd more eclipses coming up. But right now we're going to get into the whole red heifer craze here in the next week.
Yes.
You can hear God's voice and prophesy. Every person with the Spirit of God living in them can be used by God for entry-level prophecy. Entry-level prophecy is the starting point of an incredible adventure in hearing God's voice and prophesying. Prophecy encourages, comforts, and edifies people. And our heart is to equip and educate you to hear God and prophesy, walking it out as a lifestyle. And that's why we created Entry-Level Prophecy eCourse on charismacourses.com. Through this powerful eCourse, you will be equipped to hear God and to prophesy. You will gain the necessary biblical understanding needed to take a step of faith and speak what you hear God saying to see people encouraged, comforted, and edified. In this course, you'll learn about the fruit of the Spirit, the character traits of God, how to receive and deliver a prophecy, how to judge a prophecy, and what foundation you need to prophesy, and what heart motivations are necessary to prophesy. When you enroll in this e-course, you'll also have access to bonus materials and our live coaching sessions. Go to charismacourses.com to purchase entry-level prophecy and learn how to hear God's voice and prophesy.
Anyway, but today we're talking about being unapologetically supernatural. Yes, and being discerning as well. So in your book, Unapologetically Supernatural, I've got these sticky notes here. So I'm very
come worried. Come on.
It said in the intro, Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough. Can you share about that, bro?
Yeah, absolutely. Within the supernatural, or within the church, I guess you could say, you've had this two camps. Traditionally, you've had the cessationists, and they don't subscribe to the things of the Spirit, fivefold ministry, the gifts of the Spirit, etc. They believe the power of God came to an end with the end of the apostles, And but the devil still has plenty of power, just the church doesn't have any. So, and then swing to the other side, and you have kind of the Pentecostal charismatic, where 30 years ago didn't really use the term supernatural, right? But they were really good with speaking in tongues, the moving of the Holy Spirit. But even 30 years ago, talking about angels and realms and dimensions was really rare. Now, within our kind of Pentecostal charismatic, prophetic, so many terms we put on it, all these terms are widely acceptable. In fact, it's come to the point where it's almost like there are many Christians that think as long as I'm in Christ, anything that's supernatural is kosher. And the problem with that is that people are coming to know Jesus. They're beginning with the basics, diving into the Word of God, being filled with the Holy Spirit. But then they come up against a crisis. They come up against a sickness. They prayed for a family member and they didn't recover. And now they feel let down. They feel let down by God, but they feel let down by the system. And then they begin to look at other spiritual texts, and they begin to follow other kinds of even ministries that use the same words, but they're actually kind of like portals or gateways into extra biblical text. And they begin these journeys where one second they're listening to a spirit-filled person that is playing with content that's not even theirs. And then before you know it, and YouTube will do this, you know, YouTube will set up a path for you. And so that's the weird thing about content these days, is that our kids don't even pick the content. They're not using the search. They're just swiping. And then YouTube picks the content for you. So here's what's happening. Somebody starts off innocently on a Darren Stott video on YouTube. All of a sudden, they come up on another video. They come up on another video. And then all of a sudden, they got somebody referring to God as a divine creator. All of a sudden, they got somebody referring to God as a principle and not a person. All of a sudden, you got somebody referring to Isaiah, the stretching out of the tent pegs, as all religions are included. And then before you know it, you're actually listening to gurus. And before you know it, you're actually subscribing to Hinduism. That doesn't sound like a reasonable slope. People would say, Darren, you're making some pretty big leaps there. But no, I'm really not. I'm seeing a lot in hearing and discerning a lot of things that are not kosher. Even to the degree, just recently, a minister recommending a shaman in Texas, where if you feel called by the divine essence of Mother Earth, you could actually go and receive an ayahuasca treatment to get free of trauma, stored up trauma. And this isn't like, you know, and I got to be careful with this, because it's a small kingdom, right? We all kind of know each other. Mm-hmm. And yet I also have to talk about this and really talk about the right way to do the supernatural. So that's what I love about this book. It's not a caution book. It's not like a danger book. It's not like I'm not the don't play with matches guy. Like we just got back from Cambodia. My family and I spent an hour trying to walk on water, you know, out in the pool. Right. So that's me. I'm like the let's go. I'm the green light guy. And yet we do need to set up some parameters. And the parameters are good. And the reason why is that these are parameters that will empower you. Because the reason why a lot of Christians are not seeing the supernatural in their daily life is because their theology for the supernatural is no different than the way that the New Age, or the way that Hinduism, or the way that any of these spiritists, our theology is no different. So we kind of build a biblical theology going from Genesis to Revelation, looking at the beautiful tapestry, this beautiful thread throughout the scriptures of the role of humanity. And that concludes with the final chapters of the battle for the earth and the priesthood. And so this is my manifesto for supernatural ministry. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, I love it. It's conversational. It's biblical. You're pointing people to Jesus. You got nuggets of truth in here, but you also address some things. I'm almost done with the final chapter, chapter 9.
Oh, wow, Jared, that's amazing. That's great.
A lot of, you know, I interview a lot of people such as yourself, and I want to finish the books usually like before I interview someone to, you know, kind of go there. So sometimes they send suggested questions and stuff, but I don't want to sound like everybody else. So,
Jared, that's amazing. I appreciate you reading. My kid said to me the other day, Dad, do you ever read the books that people give you? I mean, I could show you my stack right here. I won't show you the titles. You'll see the one title. I'll do that. But wow. You know, this is my reading stack right now.
All right.
Yeah. So anyways, Jared, I love that you read the book. Appreciate it.
Well, I slow read, but I also know three ways to speed read. So I was actually talking to a 17-year-old girl last night who's kind of stressed out, or the other night at a community dinner that we have every week. And so brand new family showed up and, you know, she was kind of stressed out about the testing and all this other stuff. And I was like, well, here are several ways. I taught myself in seminary 1 week, and it was almost dead week, the first semester of seminary, my first seminary for my MA. And I was like, I can't read everything. And then I taught myself three ways to speed read, which saved a lot of time. I was able to go to Hawaii on some dead weeks, you know, the week that in between, and, you know, I'd get everything done. But in your book, Unapologetically Supernatural, you talk about six false prophet red flags. And you have a quote by Chris Valiton in here that you said, he taught that a false prophet does not get a prophetic word wrong, but rather is one who has an evil heart. It was sad to see the accusations made against prophets in 2020 after the election was compromised. Those who had said it was God's will for Donald Trump to be reelected were now accused of being false prophets based on their accuracy. And then you show biblical evidence where Valiton points to Acts 21 and verse 10. But what are some of the six false prophet red flags?
Yeah, well, the reason why I wrote that was because there are these prophetic movements, if you will, that are replacing the church, actually. And so when you look at the instruction or the blueprint given to us for the early church in the book of Acts, it's beautiful how the early church flourished. But you can obviously see the role of the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, and the evangelist. When I wrote this particular chapter, I had a concern about people that are called to the office of a prophet and are actually using their prophet teacher gifting in order to build these tribes around themselves, and in doing so are actually pulling people out of their churches, and they are using rhetoric to foster a independent or even an orphan spirit so that people will disassociate from their present day communities, thinking that now they know more than their, you know, if I know more than my pastor and he's teaching me every Sunday, why would I go and listen to him teach me something when I know that what he's teaching is actually false? It's all a part of the rigged system. It's all part of the left brain Vatican construct. And so if I know more than him, and if I'm having encounters that are more powerful than him, and if he's not really ultimately teaching me the real truth, and we're talking about the ancient truths that people don't really want to talk about, okay, then why would I ever be a part of this church? Well, then what church are you going to go to, right? I'm done with the church, because the church is just all a part of the man-made Babylonian Roman construct, okay? And so I'm done with that. So this sort of deconstruction that is taking place right now because of the access to knowledge that in times past, you would actually have to be a certain level, certain degree Mason to have some of the knowledge that 11-year-olds are getting now on TikTok, right? And then this orphan complex that says, I knew I could never trust this thing. This confirms my disappointment. I've been so let down by the machine. So now I'm going to be a part of the real thing. And that's where I see this movement of false prophets that are building around wild, outlandish, and I would even say fraudulent, sensational claims. And I use some fictitious examples in the book because I didn't want to like shame specific ministers and ministries that I know of. But you and I being in ministry, we hear these stories of these things that people claim to have done and are doing. And if I was to meet these people face to face, I would just tell them straight up. I'd say, that's not true. You know, people come to me all the time and say, hey, God told me this. And I'll just say right to their face, no, he didn't. God didn't tell you that. You know, I've never had one person, when I challenge somebody in their encounter or in their thing that God, when I challenge somebody, that's not confrontational, Darren. I'm really not an aggressive person, but that's the spirit of God. That's the spirit of truth that's rising up within me to confront a lie. And when I've done that, people back way off and they don't double. I've never had anyone double down because the spirit of God comes up within me to confront that lie. And there are actually liars in the church. And this is part of this false prophet situation. It's not that they thought they heard from God. It's not that they had a dream and they misinterpreted it. It's some of these guys are taking advantage of opportunities. Okay. Textbook opportunist and coming up with fictitious stories and examples in order to build movements around themselves, even if it means intentionally building a divide between these people and their existing communities. So if you're going to be unapologetically supernatural, I don't see how you can do that in a healthy biblical way and still call yourself a Christian without being equally yoked in an assembly of believers that is known as the church, where there is a dedication and devotion to the study of God's word, to the scriptures, where yes. There's a mutual submission one to another, where there is the value for Jesus as the Son of God and the only way, the truth and the life, the only way to the Father is through the Son. And that no inclusion we find appropriate in assimilating values and beliefs from other religions into our supernatural experience, thinking that it heightens or stimulates our spirituality any more than bringing pornography into the marriage bed would heighten or stimulate a moment of intimacy between a husband and wife. And so for that reason, I did a whole chapter on how to discern. Honestly, it was my publisher that changed some of the word choice on that to false prophetic movements. But my whole thing is there's things that are being done out there and they're just full blown cults. And so that's a chapter on how to make sure that you're not actually joining a cult. Because a lot of us, we're like 1 to 2 degrees away from people that are actively leading cults right now.
Yeah, so good. So what you're talking about, I call it syncretic Christianity.
Wow.
And you talk about Gnosticism. We know that the Apostle John combated Gnosticism, all that secret knowledge. And I see that. I see things. I just recently was at a conference. Dr. Mark Sharona, he said, there have been Christian prophetic ministries on stages like this who have accuracy. They've got revelation. They've got information. They've got all that. And they will blow your socks off. I mean, I'm not quoting him, but he said this that it alarmed me. He said, some of them, it's been found out that they've been trained by mediums and psychics behind the stage. And I'm like, oh my goodness. And I see a political movement. I don't throw people under the bus. Okay. I love Jesus. That's not my job to throw people under the bus. The exposing ministries and the discerning ministries, they're so negative. I need to be around positive people like yourself and others, okay, to encourage, comfort, edify. But I see just a political movement right now, which may look good and it attracts a lot of Christians. But you start digging deeper in some of these people speaking from the platform. They use Christianese on the platform, but then you start finding out they're talking about Jesus in the background as an ascended master, meaning he's equal with and how we can become ascended. Oh my goodness. Ooh. Even now I don't feel good just saying that. It's to me, it's like, we need Jesus. Jesus is enough. And so I'm thankful that you wrote about Jesus is enough, that you're telling people how to discern these things, because right now there's a mixture. And I've thought about writing a book called Charismatic Course Correction, but again, I don't want to be that guy. You know what I mean, like I'm the Holy Spirit guy. Okay. That's what I want to focus on. But in your book, you also talk about dreams and some of the sources of dreams. So I know that people that listen to my podcast, I recently had a webinar on dreams. And, you know, that's kind of how I came to Christ, and through the baptism with the Holy Spirit is at the age of 12, started having prophetic dreams, even though I didn't know the vocabulary terminology then. But what are some of the sources of dreams? But you also, so that's two questions. What are the sources of dreams? But then also, what is a dream hack? I've never heard that before.
Yeah, absolutely. So dreams are awesome and amazing. And we should have this conversation as believers a lot more, not so we can just interpret our own dreams, but so that, number one, that we can step into our authority during a time of the day when most believers don't actually practice their authority. So most believers, they go into a passive state where their spirit stays awake, stays receptive, where even their soul, you know, our brains become highly active even as we're sleeping. In fact, you know, so our body goes into a state of rest, our body goes into a state of recovery, and yet there's all this stuff kind of in the spirit that is taking place. Well, many Christians, many people that aren't Christians, become victims at night, and they feel absolutely powerless at night. It's like, whatever I dream, I dream. I can't control that. I can't affect that. So you have nightmares, night terrors. You have people that just are not sleeping. This is a major issue inside the church and outside of the church. So I approach dreams, Jared, as actually a vehicle, as actually a way to teach people about their authority in Christ. Because once you begin to take authority over the night, you'll start to take authority over the day.
Amen.
And so, so it's actually a lot. We can shut the dream realm down completely, and that's appropriate. We can teach our children how to do that, especially if they're being tormented in their dreams. So we can shut the whole thing down. We can use our authority to do that. That's absolutely okay. And then when we're ready to, we can open that realm back up, but we can frame that realm out with the blood of Jesus, and we can actually set up a spiritual gateway of sorts, a firewall, if you will, so that we're having dreams from Jesus. This is how I pray with my kids every night. Lord, I help pray that Victoria would have good dreams from you, dreams of Jesus, dreams of angels. So we set up a firewall at night, and we're consistent with it, and it works. Okay. And so, so now again, it's the same thing as with the supernatural. So a lot of people would say that, like, okay, so then once you're in Christ, that anything that takes place in the dream realm is kosher, and we can do whatever we want with our dreams. I don't think so. So for example, there is a dream methodology by which you can wake yourself up while in a dream, but not completely. It would be referred to as lucid dreaming. Mm-hmm. And so you can buy these different helmets and these different things that'll flash lights or play sound. And that apparently it knows when you are beginning to dream. And you can train yourself to partially awake while in a dream state. Because while you're in that dream state, you can actually take control of your dream. So for example, you say, oh my gosh, I'm dreaming. So in this state, I can do whatever I want in this dream. So I'm going to fly. I love flying dreams. They're like, I don't get them very often. It's been years since I've had a good flying dream. They're my favorite. There's nothing like flying in a dream and getting to decide, you know, where, how high, how low, you know, all of that. It's amazing. Okay. So what people are actually doing is people are hacking their dreams. They are becoming, lucid, if you will, while dreaming, and they're going and visiting people. Okay. And they are, setting up situations. It's all right. Here's the thing. It's not that their dream is just contained within their own consciousness. It's the idea that they can actually visit other people's state of consciousness, since in the spirit realm, all of our consciousness is interconnected. And so what people are doing is they are going and setting up situations. For example, if you find a girl attractive but she's not interested in you, you become conscious in your dream, you go, you visit her in a dream, you set up a situation. Now at work tomorrow, she's interested in you. So is that kosher? Is that okay for a Christian to do that, to go into somebody else, to go to somebody else in a dream? Well, this is being taught right now by various ministers of how to visit people And they're trying to set up parameters saying, as long as it's in love and as long as it's in care and concern, that you can do this. But what if it's not? And then who gets to decide what's manipulative? Who gets to decide what's your will versus God's will? Okay. So let's say it's not God's will for this woman to be your wife. And yet you're going to her and you're convinced it's God's will, but it's not God's will. What's that? That's witchcraft. Okay. So what's happening in, with a lot of these spiritual hacks, with dream hacking, for example, when it comes to hacking, you have, time hacking or future hacking, you have consciousness hacking. Okay. You have dream hacking. All of this is taking place, you know, right now. And it's essentially it's divination. Yeah. So this is warned about in Deuteronomy, where God says, don't let anybody who's practicing divination or anybody that's practicing sorcery be among you, you know, kill the witch. Okay. And so divination is the hacking of consciousness, time, these spiritual principles outside of Christ. And this is paganism. This is the art of paganism, is understanding all of these operations. And this is what people don't like to hear. These laws, if you will, are true. These practices work. You can do this. You can leave your body. You can go into other people's dreams. You can do all of this stuff. But these practices are not only not encouraged anywhere in the scriptures, they're actually forbidden. Yeah. Through the practice of divination and sorcery. Here's my question. Let's say you're in a dream and you realize that that you're in control of the dream. And so you and your selfishness think, this is just a dream, so I can do whatever I want. So let's say you do all these harmful things in the dream. And then let's say you wake up from the dream and now you're beating yourself up because of all these harmful things that you did in the dream, because now you've grossly sinned. Okay? Here's the question. Was that really your will to do those things in the dream? Or were you truly just dreaming, deceived into thinking it was a lucid dream? You actually don't know. The only way that you'd have the answer to that is by the Holy Spirit giving you some sort of revelation. And it's just an area that people should stay away from, but an area where people are actually, it's a huge conversation. It's going to continue to be a huge conversation. It's something that we as Christians really need to avoid.
Yeah. Amen. So you tackle a lot of tough topics in your book, Unapologetically Supernatural, but you show how to discern, how to identify a dream from God. You know, it's again, it's a conversation. I felt Jared, like I was just hanging out with you having a cup of coffee in Seattle, brother.
you won't believe this. I think it's okay to share this because I don't think this is gonna, but I have been subpoenaed to testify in a trial. Where the man being convicted allegedly could astral project astral projection is the travel of the soul, not the spirit. So he could astral project his soul into the bedrooms of women and children, where he would groom them in the spirit. Wow. before actually, you know, committing a crime against them, which wow, allegedly he did. And so I had detectives and attorneys here at our church just a couple weeks ago, and they're asking me questions about astral projection. I'm explaining the dynamics of these things. So that trial is scheduled for May. It keeps getting pushed out, but that is something that I'm being so that's a guy that was practicing witchcraft. Okay. But there's many Christians that are practicing witchcraft, and they're going into people's homes, they're going into people's bedrooms. They're doing it in love, of course. But they're using the could we just call it Nephilim technology? They're using ancient secrets, they're using hidden knowledge, and this is not sanctioned, authorized by the Spirit, and it's a slippery slope, and it's the warning to the church in Thyatira. You've become corrupted. You've received the teachings of Satan. It's called the deep teachings of Satan. And because they allowed a minister in the church that called herself a prophetess, And Jesus says, she's a false prophetess and she's operating with the spirit of Jezebel. And it's brought about sexual immorality. So this is exactly what's happening. And this was a church walking in love, works, perseverance. This is an amazing church, believers. But they were actually eating and receiving of the deep teachings of Satan.
My, wow. Heavy. Let's draw near to Jesus, Darren.
Amen.
Holy Spirit, come.
Amen.
Darren, can you lead us in a prayer to encounter Jesus, the real Jesus?
Yes.
Holy Spirit, have a vibrant, thriving, unapologetic, supernatural life.
Yeah. Hey, with all that being said, all this stuff seems so drastic and epic and dark, but the power of God's word, the power of light. And let me just say this real quick, Jared. Just in the last 10 days, we have engaged with three different people where their houses are actually haunted, literally the stuff flying off the shelves. But the most recent one, and I'm doing a conversation with her. I'm hoping that she can join me tomorrow night, Thursday night. She found me through YouTube because her and her family bought a house that was owned by the Freemasons. So they actually did all their rituals and stuff in this house. So here her and her husband, they're Presbyterians, right? They have no context for the supernatural, right? And their house is full-blown haunted, infested. And their 13-year-old son was so freaked out, he couldn't sleep in his own bed. He would have to sleep in their bedroom. And she didn't know what to do, so she YouTubed it, right? And Sid Ross interview comes up with me, and we're talking about open portals and we're having this conversation. Anyways, she gets into our school, and she just right off the bat is awakened to her authority in Christ, goes through, doesn't call the priest, right? Doesn't call an exorcist. She just steps into her authority, just simply goes through, prays through the house, anoints the house. Everything stops. She shuts that whole thing down. And so our authority in Christ, it's actually easy. It's actually fun. And once you realize all this stuff that we've been talking about up to this latter end, this is part of what we say, this is the battle for the earth, okay? And this is where there must be a priesthood to confront what is actually taking place. And so I thought I would end with that, just so we don't end on some crazy kind of thing. But Father, I just thank you for each and every person that is watching. And Lord, I thank you that they are radically loved. Whether or not they've been playing with an Ouija board or up to no good in the spirit realm, Lord, you love them so much. You sent your son to die for them. Lord, that on the cross, Lord, you became all of our sin, all of our shame. Lord, you became the generational record of our spiritual compromises, of our sexual compromises. Lord, on the cross, you became our curse. You became a curse. So, Lord, so that we could step into generational blessing. So, Father, I pray right now for a boost of awakening juice right now in Jesus' name, that people would be awakened to who they actually are. They are a son and daughter of righteousness, called by God to carry the glory of God on the earth for such a time as this. Lord, we thank you that Jesus is enough. We don't need to go hang out with Buddhist monks in Tibet. We don't need to hang crystals in between our eyeballs. All we need is the beautiful, glorious name of Jesus. All we need is that revelation that we are covered in his blood. And Lord, we thank you, Father, that you are worthy. Lord, you are holy. You are beautiful. And because of what you have done, we are worthy, we are holy, and we are beautiful. Lord, we love you. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for what you're awakening in our hearts, even on this broadcast. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Darren, while you were praying, it's like I saw this huge opening, and it's all glorious, gold, vibrant, and rainbow colors all around. And I'm just looking at the throne while you're
looking at
Jesus. So thank you, Jesus.
Come on.
I hope that people, if you're listening to this, send in your testimonies of what God was doing through you in you during Darren's prayer. But also, Darren, what is the best way for people to get a hold of you and also to get your book, Unapologetically Supernatural?
Yeah, absolutely. So just go to our website. It's just my name. It's darrenstott.com. In fact, if you get there sooner rather than later, you can join our supernatural school and you'll get the book for free. So it's included in the school, no shipping and handling, and we'll get that sent right out to you. Otherwise, If you see this later in the future, okay, if you've hacked the future, maybe you're in 2030 by now, just go to Amazon and you can pick it up on Amazon as well.
Awesome. And for everybody listening to this on Apple or Spotify, there is a link, an affiliate link, an Amazon affiliate link to the book directly, so you could purchase it that way as well. I'd encourage you guys. You know, I love this book, guys. I'm loving it.
I think that's Lasky. It's your last name, is that right? Lasky 24. Is that that's what the team did?
What do you mean, Lasky 24?
Is that the so they actually have a link? Is that right, or did they do a coupon code?
Oh, I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm in touch with your. So I'm actually sending that on my email list. That for the.
Oh, okay. Book. Okay. Awesome. So well, if people go to my website and put in. This is the secret code, okay? Lasky24. They're going to get an additional discount on the school. And so that's kind of fun.
Awesome. Well, I'll be sending that on my email list and
boom. All posting right.
that. But guys, Unapologetically Supernatural with Darren Stott. And I've decided not only am I going to put another link, the affiliate link to the book and all that in the school, but also another PDF download for you on hearing God's voice.
Awesome.
How to hear God's voice biblically, accurately, and draw near to the Holy Spirit. Darren, thank you so much for being my special guest.
Darren, thank you so much. Spirit. Come on, we didn't even get to get into.
Thank you. Whoops. You're still talking. I'll keep that in there. This is podcast. You were saying
that's my thing. I'm always talking.
So you were saying.
I said, we didn't even get to get into the Bigfoot today. I thought that's why you wore the flannel shirt. I thought we were going to go Yeti hunting.
No. I was thinking about mentioning, you know, the second to last chapter about aliens and Sasquatch and stuff. But I was like, you know what? Just tell people, get the book.
Yeah,
the
we book. Went far enough. We went far enough.
All right, brother. Now I'm going to close it real quick. For and real. Then we'll hang out real quick in the background.
Let's pray again.
Thank you so much for listening to Adventures in the Spirit with Jared Lasky, a podcast that activates you to live the supernatural life. Subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast platform and share it with your friends. Leave a 5-star rate and review, which helps us reach more people with the love and power of the Holy Spirit, and partner with us at firebornministries.com. And may you live your best spirit-empowered life and have your own adventures in the Holy Spirit.